This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got Moist Mike, we got Stuart Kovacs rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Coming up in hour number two, former college basketball player Terrence Oglesby is going to stop by. And in the final hour of the show, we'll tap into the lay of the land with Kentucky, with Coach Cal going to Arkansas. We'll find out maybe who's going to be the replacement. I would be surprised if that announcement comes today. But it does feel like Billy Donovan or Scott Drew with some developments yesterday. We'll tap into the Kentucky sports scene with Matt Jones, who's a longtime talk show host in that area. But we start with the national champion, and we start with the program in men's basketball that's been the most dominant program in the last 30 years in my lifetime, and that's the UConn Huskies. We have seen three coaches all win championships at UConn in the last 30 years. We know the legendary Coach Calhoun started UConn with winning three championships. Kevin Ollie, he won a championship. And now Danny Hurley has taken it to a different level, where last year, when you thought of UConn, even though they weren't dominant in the regular season, they were dominant in the postseason with a tournament average margin of victory being 20 points per game. Then you lose your top two leading scorers from a year ago, and you got better. Think about that. You win a championship. We talk about how tough it is to repeat. Before UConn did it last night, the last back-to-back national champion were the Florida Gators, coached by Billy Donovan. And this UConn team was better in the regular season, and they were clearly better in the postseason than the team a year ago that won a national championship and lost their top two leading scorers from a season ago. UConn now holds a record for the largest average tournament margin of victory, with it being 23.3 points per game. Prior to this tournament, it was the 1996 Kentucky Wildcats in their championship run, where their average tournament margin of victory was 21.5 points per game. And here's the craziest part about UConn and what they've done the last 2 years with Danny Hurley. You can't really point your finger to one thing. And you look back at this run and each game in the tournament, you could make a case in each game that their best player was this person, and then it was that person, and then it was this person. And when you watch them, it's not as if you're blown away by anything individually that they do. But that's what Danny Hurley wants. In an era in college basketball that's really associated with the individual, they are clearly, by far and away, and they displayed that in this NCAA tournament, the best team. And their teamwork is impeccable. Klingon gets in foul trouble, no problem. Klingon's not going to be your best player, then it's Tristan Newton. You get a transfer in from Rutgers, like, no problem. It doesn't matter. Whoever they put out on the court is just better than everybody else. And I don't usually like to be the talk show host that gets on the radio the day after a national championship game. It's actually one of my biggest pet peeves, where a team wins a championship and then the talk show host the next day says, you know, they kind of play a boring style of basketball or a boring style of hockey or a boring style of football, baseball, tennis, like whatever it is. I despise when a talk show host gets on the air after a team did something at such a dominant and an elite level and go, yeah, it was kind of boring. But when I was watching UConn last night, there's not one thing that I put my finger on and I go, wow, like I'm blown away from what this team does from an individual standpoint. Like you look at the Warriors, when the Warriors kicked everybody's ass with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, right? You look back at that group, even though you knew what the outcome was going to be, it was the magnificent three-point shooting of Steph and Klay that made your jaw continuously hit the floor. This team doesn't do anything that you could really look at and say, that's remarkable. This is so impeccable. And then at the end of the game, they're always up by 20 points or something like that. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing that I could walk away from a tournament run and a championship run where there is a team now that has the largest tournament margin of victory in the history of the sport at 23.3 points per game. And in each and every one of those games, I go, I feel like they could play better. I feel like they could excel even to a higher level. I don't even feel like they played their best brand of basketball, and they still embarrass and humiliate everybody else with great defense, with great post play, and their backcourt and the guards, and you look at the difference from, like, you look at the women's championship game, the clear difference was points in the paint. Points in the paint, South Carolina was so much better than Iowa. But you go to the men's game last night, and I'm not saying that all these points, obviously, they didn't occur from the three-point line or from the perimeter, because UConn was only 6 of 22 from three-point range. But you look at the guards last night, Castle had 15. Newton had 20. Spencer had 11. You had a guy off the bench give you 9-2. And then you look at the Purdue guards. Smith only had 12. Lawyer had 0. Jones only had 5. The difference in a sport where you entered the Final Four, and we all said, look at the bigs. Right, this was a Final Four that you went into it, and it was Edie of Purdue. Right, you thought of Klingon at UConn. DJ Burns, the big fella from NC State, that was usually an anomaly. Because how many times do you get the old kind of cliches and the traditional sayings, oh, this time of the year in March Madness, guards win, backcourt play wins. And UConn's backcourt players, their guards, were by far and away superior than what Purdue had to offer last night. And it's not even close. And like, if I would have told you, and this is the most impressive part, that Zach Edey would have 37 points in a championship game, you would probably infer that the game would be somewhat close. But UConn ended up winning the game by 15 points. And that, to me, it's like you look at them and you know the avalanche is coming. You may not be able to see it. And at halftime, it's a six-point game. And you felt like Purdue probably gave them all that they could in the first half. And the Boilermakers were still down by 6. And you knew UConn was going to play better in the second half. And with about 8 or 9 minutes left, when it's a 10 or 11-point game, that's not a lead that's insurmountable, but I tweeted out that the game was over. Because to this UConn team, when they get up by double digits, turn out the lights, the party's over. So that's what I'm blown away the most by this UConn run. I felt like they could play even better. I wasn't blown away by anything from an individual standpoint. Like, sure, Klingon's defense is awesome, and he's going to have a good pro career. But there have been other champions that you could point to a few things where your jaw just hits the floor. But with this UConn team, even if they don't play great in the first half, you know they're still going to destroy you. And they are the true definition of just a dominant team. And when I look at what they've done in this sport the last 30 years, they're the most dominant team in men's college basketball in the last 30 years. Three titles with Calhoun, one with Kevin Ollie, and now back-to-back with Coach Dan Hurley. And I know, right, Calhoun started everything. Calhoun's the standard. He is the GOAT for UConn hoops. But what Hurley's been able to do the last 2 years, you win a championship, and once again you lose your top two leading scorers from a year ago, and then you're able to be even better the next year in the regular season, that's one thing. But then in the postseason, to obliterate everyone at a historical level, where your average margin of victory of the tournament was 23.3 points per game, which is the highest ever, you walk away and you say, how'd they do this? And nothing really pops to mind outside of Danny Hurley just knows how to coach. And that dude gets an incredible buy-in from his players, and they didn't feel a single ounce of pressure throughout this entire run. And when we had the big man Donovan Klingon on last week before the Final Four, I said, why don't you guys feel the pressure? And he said, and maybe this is the secret sauce, you want to see how tough our practices are? No one practices harder than the UConn Huskies. And you could say that as a player, right? And everyone says that. But it's true. Because their practices, I would love to go to their unfilmed portion of their practice and see what really goes on. See how the sauce is made, right? Peel back the curtain a little bit. Because they step on the court, and that's what is the craziest part. The game comes easy to them. And everyone expects them to win. And going into this tournament, like, there's been years where you say, this team's going to win. I'd be shocked if this team doesn't win. And then they go home in the round of 32. Or they get to the Elite Eight and they lose. Or even they get to the Final Four and they lose in the Final Four. We all knew without a doubt this was the best team in the country. And throughout the entire season, they've displayed that not only they were the best team in the country, but they were the best team by a wide margin. Like, what did everyone say? What did every Tom, Dick, and Harry say leading into the game last night? Even Danny Hurley said it. These are the two best teams in the country. Like, just because you get to the championship doesn't mean you're the two best teams in the country. But this year, that was true based off the regular season and it translating into the postseason. And the supposed second best team in the country couldn't even keep it within 10 points of the Huskies, as UConn won by 15. And I walked away from that game, and I'll sound like a broken record player, where I actually thought UConn could find a different gear. I actually think they could have played better. And them just even playing good basketball is still 10 times better than what anyone else could have offered in the sport this year. So hats off to Danny Hurley. Hats off to the UConn Huskies. In my lifetime, probably the most recognizable team and the most recognizable program is Duke, but that doesn't mean you're the most dominant. UConn, in my lifetime, 30 years since 1994, has been the most dominant men's college basketball program in the country. 7 Final Fours, 6 national championships. Calhoun started it. Ollie won a title. And now Danny Hurley is going to continue what Calhoun did, and he's going to take it to a new level. Because this dude, it's crazy. When you win back-to-back championships, he's just getting started. And this isn't one of those things where you win multiple titles and you win 2 championships and then you never win again. I would be stunned whenever Dan Hurley walks away from UConn if he doesn't add at least one more national championship. And just saying, oh, at least one more Zach? It feels a little bit weak right now of a statement to make on the radio because they have this UConn machine humming. They have this UConn machine rolling. And this coach is that much better right now than every other coach in college basketball. There's no more Roy Williams. There's no more Coach K. There's no more Jay Wright. And he is by far and away the best coach in the sport and now the face of college basketball. Line up, try to beat him. Some years you will be successful, but when it's all said and done, Dan Hurley is going to go down as one of the more impressive coaches in the history of college basketball. And it happens to a great family. With his father and all the legendary years that he spent in Jersey as a high school coach, we all know what his brother has meant to the sport. And now not only does Danny Hurley have a seat at the championship table, he may be kicking Pops and his brother off the head spot because this is just wild what he's able to do. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Samter, why are you a curmudgeon today? I just gave you a great 15-minute kick-ass monologue, if I may say so myself. And as I'm about to toss it to the break, I see you shaking your head, and you're disgusted. What are you disgusted about?
You're not even close. Well, you're close, but they're not the most influential, best program of the last 30 years. UConn is not.
Who is? Duke?
It's Duke.
Duke is, as I said, more recognizable, but from a number standpoint, in the last 30 years, UConn has more championships.
That's the only number they have more of, right? They both have 7 Final Fours. Duke has been a number one seed 12 times compared to 5 times for UConn. Mm-hmm. Duke has missed the tournament exactly twice in the last 30 years to UConn's 9 times. Duke has 4.
They're also the brand of Duke, let me remind you.
Duke also has 4 number one overall picks in the NBA draft, 0 for UConn, 2 players drafted number 2 for UConn, 5 for Duke.
Okay.
So players that moved to the NBA, star quality players, star talent, the number of Final Fours, number one seed.
Coach Cal puts a bunch of players in the NBA.
I mean, listen.
More than Duke and UConn combined.
About Kentucky also, but
no, you can't.
I would put Duke 1. I would put UConn 2. Maybe Kentucky, UNC, Kansas. I'd have to go through the numbers to see who would be number 3. But UConn's somewhere in that 2-3 range.
I'm more impressed with what UConn's done the last 30 years than Duke.
UConn has the 6 titles. That is the most impressive thing.
That's what matters.
I get it.
Isn't that what we do in this radio landscape? It's how many titles you have, how many championships you have.
But there's more behind the story. Duke has constantly been the number one ranked team in the country, top 5 ranked team in the country.
So they should have won more, and they didn't.
Sure, and you can say they failed in the postseason, but UConn, when I think of...
And 3 different coaches, too.
Right, when I think of college basketball, right, when I think of college basketball from 1995 to now, UConn isn't the first team that comes to my mind.
If you listen to what I said Duke is more recognizable. Duke is the more recognizable program in the last 30 years, but it doesn't make them the better program. It doesn't make them the more dominant program because before those 30 years, right, and just a few years before, 91 and 92, which is not in the 30-year period, we know what Coach K was really able to do. And it made Duke polarizing. It made Duke beloved and hated. But what UConn has done, they are the program in the last 30 years. They may not be the most hated program, but from a success level, I'll take their resume over any other resume in the country. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You know what I realized here, Stu? And I don't want Samter to answer this, because then we'll be 10 minutes late for the break. Samter kind of latches on to these teams that just win. The Chiefs latches on to them.
Duke isn't my team. I'm just saying that Duke is better than UConn.
I was seeing you walking around with your Duke pom-poms before the show. You got like some shirts sent to you by John Shire. Say some nice things on the radio about us. Samter loves to latch on to the teams that just win. See, like me with the Patriots.
You're latching out to UConn that just went back-to-back.
I'm not saying I'm a UConn fan.
And the Patriots have won 7 titles?
6.
I'm the one latching on?
Learn how to count.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Brady won 1 without them. I forgot. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not... I don't... bolt my team, like a pathetic thing that you did, bolting your fandom to go pick a new team. I'm just saying here. I got to monitor this. Dodgers go win 6-7 championships. Well, that won't ever happen. But they go win 6 or 7 championships the next 10 years. Samson's going to be moving out to L.A. He's going to be a Dodger fan. It's kind of crazy. All right, we'll take a timeout. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we return, we'll have an update on the Kentucky next potential head coach.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
All righty, we are on Kentucky Basketball Watch. The first domino to fall is actually to hear from John Calipari. I guess you could say he was walking his dog yesterday, but he had a stroller as he was walking his dog, which I thought was a little bit lame. But he did not make any public comment outside of just basically politely saying, no comment, I'm just walking my dog. However, we know what the dominoes are going to fall. Coach Cal then addressed the media from his couch, I guess you could say. He put out a video on Twitter. We'll play you a little excerpt of the 4 minutes in just a second. But he basically confirmed that he is not going to be back as the Kentucky basketball coach. And he thought that the program needed a new voice. Now, there has been no official announcement yet from Arkansas or from John Calipari on his next job. But let me let you in on a little secret. He's going to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks of Arkansas. And he will be doing the Pig Suey chant, which, by the way, this could get me in a little hot water. I think the Pig Suey chant is the best chant in all of college sports. Ooh, Pig Suey! Ooh, Pig Suey, Razorbacks. That's my favorite chant. And you know when I fell in love with that chant? Ironically, it was a few years ago when John Calipari, before a game up against Arkansas, was sitting in a restaurant and the entire restaurant was doing the Pig Suey chant, kind of taunting John Calipari and showing him whose turf he was on. So now, John Calipari is going to be the face of Pig Suey Nation. From Big Blue Nation to Pig Suey Nation. We're just waiting for the official announcement. But nonetheless, let's hear from Coach Cal. Here's about 50 seconds of him talking about his decision to step away from Kentucky basketball.
Since our season ended, Ellen and I have spent a lot of time thinking about our time here at Kentucky. It's been a beautiful time for us. This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program.
The BS meter on that is at about 1,000. Yeah, we've been thinking about stepping away the last few weeks, and we've made this decision. No, you just thought that there was a good enough job, and they were going to pay you enough where you could justify leaving Kentucky, where you're not a dummy, John, and I'm a fan of John Calipari, but you knew that you had a year or two left there, and if you didn't drastically turn things around from missing the tourney, losing to St. Peter's, losing in the round of 32, losing to Oakland. Like, if you didn't get to a Final Four, Next year, you were probably gone. And maybe at most in the next 2 years. Because the championship window for John Calipari with his style has come to a close at Kentucky. That's why I was adamant once they lost to Oakland that even though it was going to be expensive, I don't give a rat's ass about the finances because they could find a way to get the money, why I thought it was imperative for Kentucky to move on. But Kentucky didn't want to pay the $33, $34 million, and John was looking around. You had some dominoes fall that were unexpected. SMU landing Andy Enfield, that means Musk goes to USC. And then Calipari had connections with boosters at Arkansas. And they made him an offer. Clearly, that's how it went behind the scenes. And Kentucky looked at it and said, all right, in all likelihood, we were going to have to pay this guy to not coach the team. And now we could let him walk for nothing? Yeah, that sounds good to us, and we could find the next chapter. So that's what happened here. This wasn't, oh, John Calipari thought the program needed a new voice. No. John finally found a job that was good enough where he could save face and then go start the next era. Now, if he doesn't end up taking the Arkansas job, which I don't think anyone believes, then okay, I would believe him by saying he actually thought the program needed a new voice. Now, a Kentucky broadcaster, Dick Gabriel, says, and this was just posted, I was listening to it during the break, he was told that Calipari got an offer from Arkansas and then went back to Kentucky and said, here's what it's going to take to keep me. And the Kentucky brass said, yeah, I don't think so. So I don't, like, we know how much John wanted to be the head coach at Kentucky. And it's not like he was some bum. He went to a handful of Final Fours and he won a national championship game. But when you win a national championship the third year into your coaching tenure at Kentucky, you got to find a way to win another one. And he went to one other national championship game and he lost. But you know it and I know it. When you win early, people expect you to win often and consistently. And not everyone could do that. So you can't look back at the John Calipari era and say it was a failure because he won a championship. But it was just time for both to move on. So now the big question for Kentucky is, how do you replace Coach Cal? Because even though fans wanted Calipari to leave, I think all those fans of Big Blue Nation can still acknowledge that John Calipari was still a heck of a coach for the program, even though the last few years, the standard has fallen. And here's what I'm realizing with the Kentucky fan. Their standards are just out of whack. Like, who they think they could go get is laughable. I'm not saying you shouldn't want Jay Wright. Obviously, you should want Jay Wright. But everyone knows Jay Wright is not returning to college basketball. You got to place the phone call, but it's not a realistic option. And last night after the national championship game, people were like, you got to go get Dan Hurley. Dan Hurley is the face of college basketball right now. He's in the penthouse. He is the head coach of the program in the last 30 years that's been the most dominant in the sport. Dan Hurley's not leaving for Kentucky right now. No way. He'd be crazy to. So those two names are out. Then you find out yesterday, and there's been some conflicting reports about Nate Oates, how interested Kentucky actually was. So I don't know who to believe. But Nate Oates made it clear he's staying at Alabama. So now when you look at the lay of the land, the probably next two choices are Billy Donovan and Scott Drew. And let me just say something about Scott Drew. And I'll make it crystal clear here. If Scott Drew is the next head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, and you are a Kentucky fan that criticizes that hire and makes it out like he's some bum, you're an idiot. The guy had one of the greatest rebuilds we've ever seen in the history of sports, and he won a national championship at Baylor. Baylor, for crying out loud. So why couldn't he win with the resources at Kentucky? And we had Josh Pastner on the show yesterday, and he predicted that it's going to be Scott Drew. I think it's going to be Scott Drew. And right away, my timeline is flooded with Kentucky fans. It can't be Scott Drew. It can't be Scott Drew. Are you kidding me? Why can't it be Scott Drew? That makes no sense to me. It's amazing how some fan bases, and we know Kentucky's a blue blood. I get that. And with being a blue blood, sometimes you have realistic expectations, but now you're above Scott Drew? Seriously? Who else are you going to hire that's better? You want to tell me Billy Donovan? I get it, but what happens if Billy Donovan says no? Because Jay Wright already said no. Danny Hurley laughed you off at the podium last night. He's not going. So who else do you want? Yeah, Rick Pitino's not coming back. All right, like, give me a break. So it's either Scott Drew or Billy Donovan. I said this yesterday. Nate Oates, Billy Donovan, or Scott Drew, one of those three have to be the hire. Nate Oates is out. We'll see if Billy Donovan will say yes or no, or will he stay in the NBA or come on back to college basketball. But if Donovan says no and Scott Drew is the hire, like, get lost, Kentucky fans. If you don't think Scott Drew can't win a national championship at Kentucky, then you're not going to be satisfied with, like, anyone that they hire. The guy just won at Baylor. We're talking about freaking Baylor. If he wins at Baylor, why couldn't he win at Kentucky? It's unreal. You'd be thinking, like, they're hiring some coach that was at, like, some Cinderella that just got to a Sweet 16 run. You should be fortunate. Fortunate. You should kiss the ground if Scott Drew is the next head coach. Now, that's crazy to me. From the YouTube comments to the Twitter page, you know, my Instagram DMs.
Oh, well, why do you and Josh Pastor think it should be Scott Drew? You guys are idiots. Morons.
No, you guys are the morons. That would be a wonderful hire. Wonderful. That's like crazy to me. You know, I've been this animated about a coaching search, ironically enough, since the A&M fans were like, oh, we can't hire Mark Stoops. Why not? Mark Stoops made John Calipari have to apologize for saying Kentucky's a basketball school when we all knew Kentucky was a basketball school. Mark Stoops had, what, two 10-win seasons at Kentucky? But he's not big enough for A&M? And I love the SEC. But some of these fans in the SEC, they couldn't identify a good coach if they were sitting in their living room. Like, geez Louise. And I like Mike Elko. But I'd rather have Mark Stoops than Elko at A&M. And if you can't get Oates and you can't get Billy Donovan and Jay Wright and Dan Hurley laugh you off the phone, you're going to tell me there's a much better name than Scott Drew with a resume like his? No shot. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. UConn, back-to-back. The Kansas City Chiefs, back-to-back. Will the Denver Nuggets go back-to-back this year? Will the Vegas Golden Knights go back-to-back this year? How about the Texas Rangers in baseball? Who's the next back-to-back champion? We'll discuss that next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Update time. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Sports Flash.
And it's sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. John Calipari's divorce from Kentucky is final. In a video on X, the 65-year-old said the 15 years was a great run in Lexington, but it was time for everyone to move on.
This team hasn't lost any belief. We're struggling right now.
And that, unfortunately, was not John Calipari, but it was Doc Rivers, whose team has been down lately, losing four in a row. It won't get easier tonight. They host the Celtics, who have won five in a row, and not only has Milwaukee dropped four straight, but also six of seven. And Rivers, as you heard, is certainly keeping the faith. The Bucks are currently second in the East, but the Knicks and Magic are both the game back. And the Knicks will take on the Bulls after a win in Milwaukee Sunday, while the Magic are in Houston. In the West, the Wolves tied for the top spot in the conference with Denver. Minnesota will host the Wizards. The defending champs are in Utah. Baseball today in Pittsburgh. The Tigers with four in the ninth beat the Pirates 5-3. Orioles and Red Sox are even at one in the bottom of the second. I'm Rich Ackerman.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is South Carolina's guard Raven Johnson in Sunday's national championship win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Johnson had four steals and two blocks for the entire tournament. She led the way with 17 steals. Alrighty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Terrence Oglesby is going to join us at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today. Matt Jones, host of Kentucky Sports Radio, is going to stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. As we know, John Calipari has made him actually be the good guy here. Right, I lose to Oakland in the tourney, and I just thought the program needed a new voice. Now, Arkansas made you a heck of an offer, and you saw the writing on the wall at Kentucky, and even if you didn't want to leave, you felt like it was the best time to leave, knowing what was right around the corner, and knowing that there will be less pressure on you at Arkansas, and you're going to have the financial backing, as they're saying, like $5 million just dedicated to name, image, and likeness. With the Tyson Chicken, you have Jerry Jones getting involved, one of the co-owners of the Denver Broncos, which we know are major players running Walmart. So I think John Calipari is going to be A-OK. But that's what John Calipari is. He's one of the best salespeople you'll ever meet. And he's a reason, and there's a reason why he's been able to have the success that he's had. But the message the last few years, or his style the last few years, was not up to standard on what Kentucky basketball expects. Anyway, the standard in college basketball these days are the UConn Huskies back-to-back national championships. We also just saw, I guess we could say, Sanders Chiefs win back-to-back Super Bowl championships as well. And now we're trying to see who's going to win the next back-to-back championship. So we could consider the Golden Knights. We could consider the Texas Rangers. And then obviously we could consider the Denver Nuggets. Now, the Knights are just ridiculous. I know that the second half of the season has not gone as well as what we thought it was going to from where they were at the deadline and some of the moves that they did make. But you take a glance at the Knights, especially in that sport of hockey, it's tough to win one championship, let alone back-to-back national champion, not back-to-back Stanley Cups. And right now, they are the final wild card spot. So they would be playing the one seed in the Western Conference if everything does hold true. The Blues, who actually got rid of their coach Craig Berube, won a Stanley Cup. They're at 87 points right behind the Golden Knights. But regardless, like, you could be a 7 or an 8 seed and win the Stanley Cup in hockey. We know that. And Vegas has a phenomenal team. I would just be shocked if they end up winning the Cup again. Because that sport and the Stanley Cup playoffs, I love them. I love hockey. I'm a huge hockey fan. I watch 82 Rangers regular season games. Right? Like, I'm sick. I'm crazy with with hockey. But there have been years where we've seen like the 7th and the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference with the Canadiens and the Flyers reach the conference finals. Last year, right, the Rangers were supposed to go on this great run. My team, they lost in the first round after going up 2-0 against Stu's Devils, and they blew it. So hockey, I think, is the toughest championship to win. That's why out of these three teams going back-to-back, I would put the Knights at the least likeliest. And by the way, if you've never attended a Golden Knights game, I seriously encourage it. Sully took us out there when we were at the Super Bowl. That stadium is crazy. And I could have left right before they even dropped the puck, and I would have been satisfied. Because the pregame theatrics and the pregame show is I felt like I was at an EDM rave. It was crazy, the amount of music they're playing, and then the light show, and they have the Golden Knight on the ice. It was really bonkers. One of the coolest pregame atmospheres I've ever seen. And I was there for the Golden Knights up against the Oilers when the Oilers had that big-time win streak and the Golden Knights, the home team, got to win that night. So for the next champion to win back-to-back, I put out of these three, the Nuggets, the Golden Knights, and the Texas Rangers, I would put the Golden Knights at 3. I would then say it's the Rangers 2. And then in at 1, it's the Denver Nuggets. The way that we really look at UConn right now, it's not exactly the same as the Denver Nuggets because they haven't had a regular season where they clearly have been the best team. Like, they're right now, they're tied for the best record in the Western Conference. But for most of the year, it feels like they've been hovering around the 3 or the 4 seed, if not a little bit further down. And we all know how great they are. But you went into this NCAA tournament and you expected UConn to win it all. You go into the NBA postseason, I don't get how you expect anyone but Denver to win it all. And I get it. The Celtics have had a remarkable regular season where they're 62-16. But the Celtics are kind of like the Ravens. The Celtics are kind of like the Buffalo Bills, where since they've been players, and I know the Celtics have got to a championship, a finals, and they lost, and we haven't seen the Ravens get to a finals with Lamar Jackson. We haven't seen the Bills get to a finals, Super Bowl, I should say, with the Buffalo Bills. But until the Celtics win a championship, really whatever they do in the regular season doesn't mean much to me. Like when Giannis won 2 MVPs and they lost both those years in the playoffs, no one cared about the Bucks the following year in the regular season, and they ended up winning a championship. But I look at this Denver team. Right now, they have the most unstoppable player in the sport in Nikola Jokic. And it's crazy how Jamal Murray is still criminally underrated, because that 1-2 punch is just ridiculous. And I was in on the Nuggets going back to the bubble, and then you obviously had the Murray injury. And even all last year, I said, Murray gets back to form, Jokic and Murray, that 1-2 punch, they're going to win the title. And they ended up doing so. So the same way that I said about UConn going into this tournament, I'll say it about Denver. Until someone beats the Denver Nuggets, just like what I said about UConn, until someone beats the UConn Huskies, I fully expect, knowing how tough that is, for UConn to go back-to-back, they did that last night, and Denver to go back-to-back as well. So that's how I'll rank them for the next back-to-back champion between the Denver Nuggets, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and the Texas Rangers. I think Denver most likely, second, the Texas Rangers, and then the Golden Knights in at third, even though they haven't been as dominant in this regular season from where we thought they were going to be at the deadline, still, it's just so damn tough to win in that sport. That is the toughest. I'll say it again. That is the toughest championship to win. And after every championship and the Stanley Cup gets hoisted and you have all these grown men just letting out high-pitched screams of elation like you never heard before, like they're fat kids in a candy store, you always hear about injuries and you go, how the heck did those guys play through those injuries? Like, a piece of someone's jaw got removed. A piece of someone's skull got removed. Someone was playing on a torn ACL and a broken foot. Hockey's a different level of toughness. And that Stanley Cup is the toughest trophy to win out of the major sports in America. All right, it is a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to make a comparison on who John Calipari is in NFL terms. Terrence Oglesby is going to join us coming up in 25 minutes. Matt Jones, host of Kentucky Sports Radio at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific today. And also, there was an update over the weekend on CBS Sports Radio that we will get to at some point in the next 2 hours. There was a sports update, and it has been making the rounds here, and people are questioning if the information in the update actually should have been broadcasted. We'll tell you who the anchor was and also what the anchor was talking about sometime between now until we get off air at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.